This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Eric Wood's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Jim Steakout, celebrating 40 years of mouth-watering hoagies and chicken finger subs. And by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
It's Mike Shope.
I have these notes, but I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
And the Bulldog.
Pretty cool! Pretty damn cool!
Woo! On WGR.
Come on! Get up! Come on, get up if you're as psyched as I am!
Sports Radio 550.
Eric Wood with us right now on the West Her Hotline. Hello, Eric. What's going on today?
Oh, nothing. Just traveling back from Nashville, trying to get my voice back from a long couple days and talking over music consistently in Music City and doing a broadcast and a bunch of media work. But, just kind of digesting what was not a great ending for Bills fans, but, man, what an incredible game.
We don't need to worry about making you talk here for the next 20 minutes or so, I hope.
No, I think I'll make it through.
All right, good. Good.
Well, where to start here? Let's maybe begin at the end, the final sequence, and I don't know. We're curious about the options the quarterback might have on a quarterback sneak. First of all, I mean, I don't know. We should ask you. Like, you agree with going for it?
Yeah, I do agree with going for it. You know, there's two ways of looking at it. I know what the analytics say, and, you know, it's been pretty well published today that all the analytics said the Bills had a better chance of winning if they went for it on fourth and one there. And I would have definitely gone for it. Josh Allen's been so productive, especially on QB sneaks in his career. He's the best player on your team. You put the ball in the hands of your best player in those moments, and you trust him to be able to get the job done. I believe Tim Graham wrote earlier, Josh has been in fourth and one situations where he's had a QB sneak in his career. He's 13 of 14 in converting those, and the one he didn't get was a botched snap. So that was the only time that he wasn't successful in getting those. But if you get the first down there, then you still have to call your timeout. I guess you could potentially spike the ball, but you only have one or two plays. So I guess the analytics were saying that had the Bills got it in that next play, they would have had a better chance of scoring, and I guess they always could have gone back, still kicked the field goal, and then tied it and went to overtime. But as far as options go on that play, so generally what the Bills would do, and New England did this for years with Tom Brady. He was always so successful on QB sneaks because, and Brian Daboll brought over this philosophy over to Buffalo. You line up, you essentially have two options. You can go for the QB sneak if either A gap's exposed or you think you have a mismatch, or if everybody's wedged in there really tight, you'll hand it off. And on an outside zone where everybody's packed into the middle of the defense, you generally have an easy run for the first down. So that's what I assumed that the Bills were going to do, that or just try and draw Tennessee off sides. I was pretty surprised when they lined up in the shotgun and then walked Josh up there, which led everybody to squeeze down. And then, you know, a lot was made of Simmons being able to penetrate inside the block of Deion Dawkins. Well, that's a really tough block for Deion to make on a QB sneak where the guy already has inside leverage on him, and he's just simply trying to penetrate up the field.
Yeah, so I guess I wonder if it's on Allen to recognize that Simmons has shifted to Dawkins's right shoulder, I guess it would be, right? He's on the inside leverage, like you're saying. And is that on Josh to recognize that's not ideal, I should look somewhere else and maybe go, you know, the other direction or something?
Yeah, well, both the tackles had guys to the inside. The D tackles, the defensive linemen were lined up in both A gaps on either side of the center and in both B gaps inside the guards and the tackles. So both ways, I understand what Josh was trying to do. He did it at home in the last Bills game when he took off for the long run on a QB sneak and he kind of just broke it around the left edge. I believe that's what he was trying to do. Simmons just penetrated a little too far there and he was unable to get around him and then ultimately tried to drive forward for it and didn't work out.
Anything about just sort of the night overall, Eric, even if it's, I mean, defensively is its own question. It has to be with what Derrick Henry did. And I mean, 35 points against a defense that had been so successful so far, just offensively, I don't know. I'm pretty good with it. Like you're I think less of a Bills worrier than I would be. And so I don't want to ask you really any questions about concerns after this game. It was a game for me that was really fun. Two good teams, maybe even very good teams. I mean, this is the NFL. And I mean, in that play you guys are talking about, fourth and half a yard at the 3, I'd rather be the Bills right there than the Titans. You know, it's 22 seconds left in the game, and I would rather have been the team that eventually lost. So just a great game.
It was a great game, and it's two good teams. You got the first place team in the AFC South, first place team in the AFC East, likely going to be two playoff teams. It's a good matchup. You go down the road, it's a really fun environment to be in there. You know, probably about a 50-50 crowd between Bills and Titans fans. On the first third down of the game, the Bills fans, which it's happened before, but they forced Tennessee to use silent cadence at home because the Bills fans were so loud, which it just rarely ever happens. But kind of going back to that last sequence too, that offsides play on third and inches, that ends up being an enormous play because it forces them back. Josh's scramble doesn't go for the first down. And that ultimately happened because, you know, they're going off the movement of Mitch Morse. Well, Deion Dawkins, he knows that the ball's about to be snapped, and it's a well-timed shift. It was game planned by the Titans. They shifted at the very last second, and so Deion saw all that movement, and he flinched.
Boy, so close. That one was so close, but I guess, yeah. With Eric Wood here on the Western Hotline, how about the success, Eric, that Derrick Henry and the Titans had? Certainly, it's not a surprise when Derrick Henry goes off, but with what happened in the game last year, he had a pretty modest game, and how the Bills have been playing, it would have been a surprise to some that it happened here.
Yeah, and besides that 76-yard run in the first half, the Bills held him to 2.5 yards a carry. I know you can't play that game all the time, but if you eliminate one of his runs in the first half, the Bills were able to hold him in check. But a lot of times, especially with a really big running back, you consistently stick with that run game, and eventually it kind of wears on the defense. But amazing to me that I saw this today, that Henry, so on TV from in the stadium, you knew he was running very fast and he was breaking away from the Bills secondary players. He outweighed them probably by about an average of 60 pounds apiece. So the fact that he's breaking away was truly remarkable. But he ran 21.8 miles per hour, which is the fastest run of his career. And it's the fastest speed reached by a ball carrier all season.
Yeah.
This year. It's
crazy.
Amazing to me at that size that he's able to do it. And, you know, it's interesting with what the Titans are doing. And, you know, we talked about it pregame yesterday. Mike Vrabel's built this culture of toughness, and they're going to run the ball. And they drafted Derrick Henry, and they're committing to a run game. And it's interesting because so many defenses nowadays are built to defend the pass. It's become this passing league, so you get smaller. A lot of teams are even playing nickel defense to base looks on offense, the 21 and 12 personnel. And so as defenses are getting smaller and everyone's kind of crafting their defenses to defend the Kansas City Chiefs of the world and the Buffalo Bills of the world, you get a 250-pound running back coming downhill. And now that defense is suited to defend the run. And when you look at how the Bills are made up, you know, Taron Johnson essentially becomes their third linebacker in a lot of looks, and they'll bring down one of the safeties. And then, you know, Star Latulé, of all the guys that play on a consistent basis up front, you know, he's listed at, what, 305 pounds? That's not that big of a defensive tackle. This defense is built more on speed than it would be on size.
Right. Well, you know, very, very tough loss. We've been talking today, I think this is a story, Eric, and I'm curious to hear you on this. I'm excited to talk to you about this, the officiating and how there is this new, it seems, procedure where a replay official, Mike Pereira, I'm told in an interview today, said there's one in every stadium, which is something maybe you knew, but there you see now conferences where no one is talking, and it's just, I guess, obvious that the referee and maybe other officials too, or at least the referee, are listening to somebody basically telling them what to do. And
right.
You had that, I think, on the Julio Jones catch where there was pass interference and the ball bounced and he made that amazing play. The ESPN guys didn't pick up on that. I never saw an official signal a catch, but then it was a catch on the field. The ruling on the field is a catch. And on the Allen run on third and six or whatever it was, you know, the end of the game, the same thing happened. And I saw Cleet Blakeman, the referee, ESPN had him talking to Sean McDermott after the game, and you could read the referee's lips. He said it came from up above, which is kind of the end of it. And McDermott walked away at that point, and he said in the press conference, yes, that's what he was told. So this is a new step here in the league, and I don't know. Like I feel like it already has cut down on some of those delays that we hate, where there are reviews and, you know, come on, why is this taking so long? But it's also somewhat mysterious, and I think even coaches maybe right now are trying to figure that out.
Yeah, they definitely are. And then you have the deal this year where they can review the play within 20 seconds of the previous play ending, and then if you're going to challenge, you essentially have to wait till after that 20 seconds. Yeah, I think I'll say this even from the broadcast times aside, there's oftentimes me and Murph are wondering exactly when these referees are going to come on. So as soon as the referees start talking, we lay out, let them go, and then we get back to our point. Well, generally, you can see the refs conversing, and then as soon as they break, you know it's time to break yourself. Well, when he's just standing there and he's listening, you have no idea when that's coming.
Right.
And, I mean, it happened to me like three times last night where I'm fumbling over whether I'm going to continue making my point, let him go. So even on the broadcast side, it's been something to adjust to. But, man, a lot of penalties. You know, even these last 2 weeks, these Bills two primetime games in a row, people around the country don't love seeing 15, 20 penalties a week.
No. What is the 20 seconds again? So is that related to this replay official, this review official point? I think it is, you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's so like for the first 20 seconds of the previous play ending, they're essentially reviewing the plays upstairs.
Uh-huh.
I believe the thinking on that is to kind of speed up the game so you don't have to challenge as much. They can just override the deal themselves and not have to go through all the theatrics of, you know, challenging the previous play, get to a TV timeout, and that whole deal.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. But, I mean, you know, if I'm in the no huddle, what do you do then? I don't have to wait 20 seconds to run my next play, do I? If I'm the other team, like I don't think I have to do that. So that could be, you know, no pun intended, challenging. Are you a fan of this? Sorry, Bulldog. Like are you a fan of this step?
Yeah, I think anytime you can make measures to make it so you take some of the human element out of the officiating to where, you know, the exact result is coming how it should be, I like that. You know, I'm not saying, you know, everything needs to be reviewable because that would just create really long games, a lot of breaks in the action. But, you know, as a former player, you're putting all that work into the preparation throughout the week. You're, you know, putting yourself on the line each week. You want it to not be affected by human error on officiating.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is a step in the right direction there, I'm all for it.
Eric, how do you think this loss impacts the Bills going into the bye week? I'm pretty encouraged about, you know, I think they're talented, they're well coached, I think they're pretty level headed. I'm reminded of Arizona last year, which was also before the bye, right? And that was heartbreaking, you know, just like this, right at the end of the game, after you think, you know, in that case, the Bills had taken the lead late and then got a touchdown put up on top of them. In this case, you know, they didn't, you know, it didn't go quite that way, but still heartbreaking end of game loss. I would think that they will not overreact to it, though.
No, I don't think you're going to get a ton of overreaction heading into the bye week. You know, you got such a long period before your next game. You always love going in on a win. Makes you feel a little bit better about the time that you're now that you've earned to get that time off. It always feels a little bit better with a win. But, you know, sitting at 4-2 with their remaining schedule, I think there's a lot to be optimistic about with the future of this season for the Buffalo Bills. Obviously, you know, where they sit right now, Dawson Knox fractured his hand yesterday. I'm not sure how long he'll be out with that, but they're relatively healthy. I don't think you can freak out because Tennessee put up 34 points against you yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Well, the AFC, I mean, it's nothing new. We know Tennessee is somewhat of a contender, and it's a great night for them. It's a great win for them. Beating the Bills these days means a lot. You've got the Chiefs coming back, winning this week. Baltimore at the top. Cincinnati, your Bengals. Are they good?
Man, it's hard to say. And I gave up the Bengals when I got drafted by the Bills.
I know.
I will say that. And I don't know if we've talked about this over the years, but you know, I rooted for the Bengals my entire life, and they stunk. I get into the NFL, and not only did they consistently beat us. In Buffalo, they make the playoffs 6 of 7 years, of my first 7 years in the league, while I root for them during a just treacherous time for the organization. But it's hard to say. You know, I love Joe Burrow's game. I think he's a good leader. I think people will rally around him. But it's hard to tell. It's hard for me to tell how real they are at this point of the season.
Yeah. Playing the Lions doesn't really tell you a lot, I think.
I got something else from this game I want to ask you about, and it's the troll job by the Tennessee special teams, Eric.
Oh, yes.
You had a fake throw on a kickoff return, I think it was, and then, you know, that ridiculous, not even close throw across. How is that only a 5-yard penalty, by the way? You throw the ball that obnoxiously illegally, you should get more than 5 yards, I think, penalized against you, but I'm changing the subject. I guess I got to give Vrabel credit because he really worked on me last night. Like, I wanted to punch him in the throat watching those plays because I lived through 99 and then home, you know, a lot of us did home run throwback. I felt like I was just getting trolled hard by him.
Oh, no doubt. You know, that was completely calculated. You get this big moment on Monday Night Football, and he wanted it to be a storyline. You could tell. It was also, not to switch the subject, it was really interesting to me what the Bills' kickoff approach was last night. And, yep. You know, honestly, it's just it's evidence that Sean McDermott and his staff are just looking for edges anywhere possible, constantly evolving, not afraid of changing. But instead of Tyler Bass taking his normal, like, 10-step approach to kick the ball, he takes a 3-step approach. And I'm assuming it's where you're trying to get it, like, right on the goal line, where you put the kick returner in a tough position if he doesn't know if he's supposed to return it or not. And for the most part, the Bills were able to catch some field position through that, but because the first drive started inside the 10 after penalty, and I think only once did they get out past the 25. But it's just interesting to me, like a little nuance like that, but just always trying to find an edge anywhere they can. And I don't know if they were thinking, well, this secondary is depleted for Tennessee. A lot of their guys that are going to be playing on defense or are likely going to be playing on all special teams. We're way deeper than them right now. We're way healthier. Maybe we make them play 6 more snaps of this game. The most physical play in all of football is likely the kickoff return. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know the exact thought process behind it, but just like I said, further evidence that they are always trying to evolve for the better. Inside that building.
It's a Belichick move. And it didn't – there's also the chance of a turnover that doesn't exist on a touchback. And they didn't get a turnover, but they did get an injury. And I don't know.
Right.
Batson went out. I guess that's a torn ACL on the one where the blocker was stood up and he ran into the blocker and went out. So, yeah, I get the logic there. All right, so you've got some action coming up in your life, I just read.
Yeah, the Bills are off this week, and CBS reached out and was asking if I wanted to do a just one-off game and get back in front of the TV screen. So I will be on the call for Western Michigan at Toledo. I actually was on the call for that game last year. It was a Tuesday night action game. I was on the sideline, and it was a wild finish. Toledo was up 13 points with 3 minutes to go, I think, and it ended up being a Western Michigan fake spike touchdown throw with a potential inadvertent whistle. The defense didn't react to the snap because they thought there was a whistle. Anyways, wild finish last year. Me and Jason Knapp will be very excited if it ends similarly this year.
The UB in that conference won a game Saturday where they were trailing throughout the entire game, made a field goal at the end to win over Ohio. Jason Knapp, I don't know him, but I know he does curling broadcasts. He's a curling announcer.
Yeah, he does a lot with NBC, I guess, as well for the Olympics. So
yeah. In case you just
good conversation.
In case you probably immediately hanging out the night before and conversation runs dry, just talk. Go to use curling if you want. He probably knows a lot. All right. Not that you need any help in that area. Very good. I won't call them your Bengals anymore. I learned my lesson. That's one of those like from last night where I put an LOL there or something, just not sure.
Right. I like it. That's funny.
All right. Rest your voice, and we'll talk. How about 2 weeks?
Sounds great.
Thanks, Eric.
Enjoy. Well, I guess you guys are still on radio every day, correct?
Yes.
They don't give you time off. Probably makes it even more difficult because you're not preparing for an opponent. You guys kind of just talk storylines all day.
I bought an air fryer the other day, and I went home yesterday, and my wife asked me in her way, how was work? I'm like, it was okay, but 4.5 hours on the Bills. I didn't get to mention the air fryer.
Right. So now you can work it in all week.
Yeah, totally work it in. Now I've got tons of time. Maybe today, but soon, everybody.
Right.
So stay tuned. All right. Thanks, Eric.
I love it. Yep. See you guys.
All right, there you go. Eric Wood on the West Hur Hotline and his appearance with us here on WGR, brought to you by Jim's Steakout, celebrating 40 years of mouthwatering hoagies and chicken finger subs, and by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.